Today's learning should be a zchus refuah shleima for Peril Yenta Bas Brinda. We opened up Sefer Shemois. We began a new chapter in Klal Yisrael's history, now focusing on Golos and Shibud. After we just got back together at the end of Sefer Bereishis, we just finally found our place. There was unity in Klal Yisrael, the Shvatim all getting together. Yaakov was living together with his children. It seemed like such a beautiful ending to a story. And then we open up with last week's parasha and continue on to discussing, obviously, much more depressing storyline, Shmais Ve'ei Raboi, until ultimately we'll get to the Geula later on. But there's two important lessons of Chinuch that come out of Parashat Shmais. Two very, very important lessons. The Medrash writes in Medrash writes on the Pasuk that the Torah describes the Jews living in Mitzrayim. Pasuk writes in the beginning, the first couple of Pasukim in Sefer Shmais, the Torah writes, Eis Yaakov Ishu Beisabo. So the Medrash comments, why is it that Yaakov was the only one of the shiftei of the Avos to merit what we'd call a perfect house? All his children stayed on the straight and narrow. He was what we'd call 12 for 12. All his kids stayed from Yeshem and Levi. Had a little bumps in the road, a little clunkiness, but at the end of the day, they all stayed from. They all ended up doing well for themselves. Avraham Avinu was not zeichet to that, nor was Yitzchak. So the Medrash writes, the difference between Yaakov and all his father and his grandfather was that Avraham Avinu did not rebuke Yishmael, Yitzchak did not rebuke Esav, and therefore Esav became Esav, Yishmael became Esav. Yaakov, he had no problem rebuking his children, he pointed out their flaws, and he disciplined them as necessary, and that's why, says the Medrash, every parent has an obligation to discipline their children. So last week my son was misbehaving, so I disciplined him. And he says, why are you doing that? I said, it's a Medrash in this week's parasha. He says, but you don't have to be so loud about it. That's what he told me. He's 100%, maybe he's 100% right, I'm not sure. But the Maaseh, the Medrash is still very true. The Medrash is teaching us that if we let our children run wild, we're not doing anyone, any toyelis l'rabim. We're not helping them, we're not helping us, nor are we helping society. Obviously, there's a balance between discipline and how to discipline and proper discipline. I guess that's what my son was calling me on. But nonetheless, the idea is still very true. Then there's another lesson in Chinuch, a very famous vart from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want a nurse from the Mitzri, so they had to bring in a Jewish woman to nurse him. So the Ramah records in Shulchan Aruch, and actually in Yerudea, Pei Aleph, the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch that really milk from a Mitzri is kosher, but it's better not to give your child to drink from a Mitzri. So the Vilna Gaon is mitzayin to a Rashba, and he says, where does it come from? He says, we learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to drink from a Mitzri, none of our children should drink from a Mitzri. Asks Yaakov Kamenetsky, what's the comparison? Moshe Rabbeinu knew he was also the daber mashchina, so therefore he's not going to drink from the mitzvah. Most of our children, I don't think we anticipate such an outcome. So what's the comparison? Says Yaakov, because that's because we're not mechanech children properly. We should be mechanech children that you can one day grow up to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. How do you know you won't be? Because we go, you know, we assume you're not going to be. Why not? We should raise our children with the ideology and the hopes and the aspiration that you one day might speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how can you drink from a mitzvah? It's an important lesson. We often shortchange our children. We tell them, listen, let's be honest. You're not going to be a Rosh Hashiva. You're not going to be a big gadol. You know, just be happy who you are. No, why not? Maybe they could be. How do you know? Give your children the opportunity. They were sending around lists. I got this in many different WhatsApp chats. I got this comments from Rabbi Belsky. Someone asked Rabbi Belsky, what did your mother tell you growing up as a child that made you who you are today? So he said, you know what my mother used to sing to me? She used to sing that you can be whatever you want to be when you grow up. That was it. That's what she used to tell him as a little kid. You can be whatever you want to be when you grow up. And Kachavi grew up to be an amazing gadol. Because that's what his mother didn't, you know, give him schoolers and, you know, put things in his crib and, you know, do all these other things that we do today. You raise a child with the idea that you can be great. You can do it. You can reach any height that you want. When children are raised that way, they could taka grow up to be really, really great people. That's just the chinuch lessons of this week's parasha. But I think the important lesson that the Torah is telling us in this week's parasha is what Moshe Rabbeinu makes a very, very strong comment. Moshe Rabbeinu says, after witnessing the Sheba Mitzrayim, he says, after a very interesting conversation, Moshe Rabbeinu has a conversation with another Jew who's about to hit another Jew. Moshe Rabbeinu steps in and tries to help. And the other Jew gives Moshe Rabbeinu a line like, oh, what are you going to do to me like you did to him? So Moshe Rabbeinu says back, Ochei noida hadava, now I understand everything. So Rashi quotes a Medrash, and Rashi doesn't quote the whole Medrash, you have to look the Medrash up inside. But the Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to himself, now it makes sense. I never understood why the Jewish people suffering so long under Mitzrayim. They're no worse, better than other nations. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, now I get it. That's how the Medrash is recorded in Rashi. But it's missing the punchline. Now I get what? What's the Aveira? So if you look up the Medrash says Aveira was Lashon Hara. Moshe Rabbeinu said to himself, ah, now it all makes sense. Now I see Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is why we're suffering. And then the Medrash concludes, Moshe Rabbeinu says to himself, I don't even know how we're going to get out of this. There's no way we're going to get out of this predicament if we're going to continue to speak Lashon Hara. That's where the Medrash ends. And the obvious question of the Medrash is, you found one rotten apple, you found one bad guy, and that's it, the whole nation suffers? Go to every shul and to every community, there's at least one bad guy. We hope there's only one. Sadly, there's usually more than one bad guy. So what? The whole Klai Yisrael, you have to remember how many Jews lived in Klai Yisrael. Think about the numbers for a second. We left Mitzrayim with 600,000, and that was only one-fifth of the people. So think about how many Jews lived in Mitzrayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu found the one troublemaker. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu passed the whole Klai Yisrael because of one bad guy. So Ephraim Grimler wrote a sefer on Chumash, same sefer, River Ephraim. So he writes, you see from over here the power of the one. One person can change the future, can change the destiny, can change Klai Yisrael's reality. But I think perhaps there's a deeper lesson over here. I think the pshat over here is Moshe Rabbeinu says to himself, if we're suffering, we're under stress from the goyim, we have no room, even one person, to fight against each other. If the world would be perfect and Klai Yisrael was living bishalva, okay, so one bad apple, I can let it go. But we're being oppressed over here. They're trying to kill us. They're trying to annihilate us. There is no room whatsoever for anyone for us not to get along. And Moshe Rabbeinu realized that at a time of a tzar, there's no room, no place whatsoever for internal conflict and internal fighting. If we're going to fight when we're a tzar, then there's no way we're ever going to get out of Geula. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us. But I think Moshe Rabbeinu had a different outlook on life. Moshe Rabbeinu is what we'd call a detailed-oriented person. Moshe Rabbeinu was looking at the details. Because most of us think about it, and they say, let's say they had a problem with Lashon Hara in the times of Mitzrayim. But we know the Medrash says they were at Memtes Sharitum. They were doing Avodah Zarah. They stopped doing Bris Milah. They did a lot of things wrong. So Lashon Hara is the biggest problem. Moshe Rabbeinu said, yeah, because that's the details of life. So many times people overlook, say, okay, so I speak Lashon Hara, but listen, I go to shul every day, and I wait tefillin, and I daven, and I do daf yomi, and I do mishnah yomi, I do chumash yomi, I do navi yomi, I do everything. So I speak Lashon Hara. No. So Zion, this is the greatest line. It should be the worst thing I do. Right, I love that line. It's a horrible line in Musr to say. It's the worst thing I do. Because in English, that means, therefore, it's mutter. That's what it translates. People don't think about it. That's what it really means in English. It means it's mutter. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you don't lose focus of the details. Yeah, Lashon Hara maybe is... And Lashon Hara itself is a detailed experience. Why? Because what is Lashon Hara? It's a line. It's a comment. It's a word. It's a phrase. Little things. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, don't lose focus on the details. These little things matter a lot. Because these little things you think are little are perhaps very, very big things. And we know the Chafetz Chaim writes many places. The Chafetz Chaim writes, Chazal tell us that we're still stuck in the Golos because of Sinas Chinam. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Sinas Chinam doesn't just mean because we're mean to each other. It includes Lashon Hara as well. All these types of interpersonal relationships that we often say, okay, so I'm not such a nice guy. So I bash him, I bash that guy. Okay, no, but I'm still a good person. You know, I still have a good heart. Maybe, probably, but it's still a massive flaw that needs to be fixed. And Moshe Rabbeinu was clearly a man of details, because Moshe Rabbeinu is walking in the desert, and there's a burning bush. Why does no one else notice the burning bush? So I say today it's not a kasha, because everyone noticed the burning bush. They took a selfie with the bush. They sent it to all their WhatsApp chats, and they went weiter. Everyone noticed it. There's no shail in my mind. Today, of course, everyone would notice the bush. But the difference is Moshe Rabbeinu actually thought about the bush. He said, one second, what's going on over here? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was raised with the importance of details. Now, where did Moshe Rabbeinu learn details? From his mother. Terry tells us about Shifra and Pua. Their great claim to fame is what? Shifra and Pua. So everyone has a kasha. Their greatest claim to fame is they saved these babies. They went right under Pari's nose, and they risked their life, and their greatest claim to fame is that they used to coo the babies, and quiet the babies, and calm the babies. The answer is yeah, because that's a detail that's often overlooked. Many people would say, listen, they saved the baby, move on. What do you mean? But babies that are not just living or dying, they need to be comforted, they cry, they need to be pampered. Okay, someone else would do it. No. Shifra and Pua looked and focused on the details of life. Because sometimes the details are perhaps more important than we think. And Moshe Rabbeinu was a person who lived his life with details. And he learned that from his mother. And I think and that's what the Torah is telling us. If we want to get out of this very long galus, we got to realize the details of life, the Lashon Hara. Or sometimes when someone's suffering and you say to yourself, but there's a little thing. It's the little thing that you can do to make a difference. It's the, right, those of you doing Daf Yomi, the Gemara talks about saying good morning to people, and right, greeting each other in the morning. The little good mornings, for some people, that mamish changes their day. It gives them a whole different outlook on their day, makes them much more positive and happy, and you're changing their day. That little detail can really be the ticket out of the goals. I think that's perhaps what Moshe Rabbeinu is relaying to us in this week's parasha. I have to apologize. I have to run out right after the shir. As everyone knows, as you can tell by the availability of parking, that it's a midwinter break. And I try to schedule my vacations between the shurim, so I only have between Sunday and Tuesday. So every minute of the vacation, we go away for 26 hours. That's the sacha kol. So that's the whole trip. So if I go, if it's going to be 25 hours and half an hour, I'm going to have four very unhappy kids, and even more so, unhappy wife. So, Connecticut. Nowhere too exciting. We're just getting away, just to say we went away to be yoytze the chiv deraisa of going away during midwinter break. Okay, fine. So... Mitzvah next Sunday. Hopefully, we'll have a little bit more time after Shem. Okay, we left off last week. We were in a Machloikis Rishonim between the Rambam and Rashi Kinira about what do you do with the tzitzin she'im akvin esamila. We know in the Bismila you have these certain strands of skin that are not makiv the meal, they don't pass all the meal whatsoever. So the question is, do you go back for them? So the Gemara says, you don't go back for them once you finished, once you were pirish, once you stopped doing the procedure, you don't go back for these strands. So the machloikis Rishonim was, when don't you go back? So Rashi in the Torah learned, you don't go back on Shabbos. There's no justification of Chol Shabbos to go back for that is not ma'akiv. While the Rambam said, no, you don't go back for this even on a Tuesday. Let's say it was a regular weekday, you did the bris, and then after you finished the milah, you realize you forgot these extra strands. Again, these strands do not pass the milah whatsoever. The baby's 100% gemalt, and then you realize you don't go back. So we were trying to figure out, why not go back? What do you lose? What's the problem? Why would you not go back? So we had many pshatim last week, just to remind ourselves, we had a pshat from the Shagas Aryeh, from the Beis Halevi, that the pshat is that the reason why you don't go back is because there's no reason to go back. Because why do you go back in the first place? Because you want to make the mitzvah nicer, hiddur mitzvah. You can't do hiddur mitzvah when the mitzvah is already over. Mitzvah's done, it's finished. Hiddur mitzvah is before I start. I have two ways of doing a mitzvah. One is a nicer way, one is a less nice way, so then I go the nicer way. But the mitzvah's over. It's like after I shake the lulav, I go back and shake the lulav again with a nicer lulav. It's too late. You already got the mitzvah, you already got the check. There's no concept of hiddur mitzvah. We mentioned from the Briskerov, in Hilchas Chanukah, the Briskerov thought maybe not. The Biskarov thought maybe the machloikis gufa is whether or not you go back after a mitzvah is already over. The Biskarov suggested that maybe the machloikis rishonim is not this idea of the Beis Halevi. He wanted to argue on his grandfather. He wanted to suggest this is gufa the machloikis. Do you go back after a mitzvah is over, or do you not go back after a mitzvah is over? Now the Beis Halevi has another pshat over here. That's what we're going to start today. Beis Halevi has another understanding of what's pshat on this machloikis, and he writes like this. Number one, says the Beis Halevi, v'hod the pasuk ator de b'chol chayzer humi tamacher. Says basically, I'll tell you another pshat. You know why the Torah holds you go back during the week? It's for a totally separate reason. Not the way we said it. The way the Beis Halevi set it up was, the machloikis rishonim is, what's the mitzvah of milah? Is the mitzvah of the actual cutting? And then once the cutting is over, the mitzvah is over. Or the mitzvah is to be gemalt. So therefore, the Torah held the mitzvah is continuous. Because every moment that I'm gemalt, I'm still in the mitzvah, therefore I can go back. Says the Beis Halevi, that's not the pshat. Here's a new pshat. He writes, the Hamaskinim Gemara, the Dinzah, the Pirishim Chazer, Tolib, the Plukta, the Rabban, Reb Yosi. The Gemara is going to say later on, we'll hopefully get to it, that there's really machloikis tanoim. Do you go back after you finish the mice? The Gemara says that the Rabbanon hold, after you finish the meal, you're pirish, you stop the action, you put your hands down, you put the knife down, do you go back? So it's a machloikis. Some say you do, some say you don't. So basically what the Beis Halevi wants to suggest is the following. He wants to say that since it's a machloikis tanoim, whether or not you go back or not, so the Torah said to himself, let's think about this. It's a machloikis rishon if I'm supposed to go, it's a machloikis tanoim if I'm supposed to go back after I put down the knife. So he figured to himself like this. So bechoil, during the week, what do I have to lose by go back? Machloikis. According to one opinion, I'm supposed to go back. And according to the other opinion, I lose nothing. So I go back. But when it came to Shabbos, says the Beis Halevi, when it came to Shabbos, then I already, one second. According to one opinion, I'm not supposed to go back. And according to one opinion, I am supposed to go back. Oh, so for Shabbos, I have to be machmir. And I can't go back. But says the Beis Halevi, when it came for during the week, then I can be soimich that it's, you know, almost like a suffix. Because according to one opinion, you're supposed to go back. And therefore, I don't know how we paskin. So therefore, I go back. That's how the Beis Halevi writes. We'll skip to the end. He writes at the end, he says, there's a sheet of the Baal Itim, which we'll have to talk about Blina the next week. So he writes it this, Umushumachi. Pasuk ator de b'Shabbos ain't a chayzer. Why don't you go back on Shabbos? Kedas reiv apoyiskim shapasuk karabonon. De Reb Yosi. V'yefshel l'chal Shabbos mishum dilma halach Reb Yosi. Avo b'chol poyiskim de chayzer. Why do you go back during the week? It's a suffix. Dilma kaim alon Reb Yosi. Maybe we pass on like Reb Yosi. De pirish l'avias chalach rita. That he holds that once you stop, that's not considered a break, and you're still in the process. V'hari hakol chada ma'isa v'tzarech la'azim mishum van veyu. V'hichmer hator misuffik. So the Torah wasn't really sure how we paskin. So he came out like this. So during the week, so it's okay, I'll be machmir to go back. But on Shabbos, I can't be machmir to go back, because maybe we paskin like the Rabbanan, and therefore the Torah was machmir on Shabbos, he was mekel during the week. That's the way the Beis Halevi wants to suggest pshat in the machloikis. Now we come to the Chassam Sofer's pshat. This is what we were supposed to get to last week. We were a little behind, but we'll focus on this week.
On Shabbos, we're concerned about the melacha of what, Kabbalah?
We spoke about last time, about three or four possibilities in the Rishonim, what melacha would the milah violate. So most Rishonim hold it's Kabbalah. It would be considered Sheikhit, that's why Taisus writes like that. It would be Sheikhit. So there's a Chassam Sofer, a very, very interesting comment from the Chassam Sofer. Says the Chassam Sofer, Bebraisa Zuloi Husker Shabbos. He points out a very interesting aura. We keep on saying that the Gemara says you don't go back for tzitzin that are not ma'akiv. The Gemara never tells you when. The Gemara just says you don't go back. So the pashas of the Gemara is Shabbos and weekday. If it doesn't specify, So the Chassam Sofer points out, "Ubrais is ulo hisker Shabbos." It never mentions anywhere in the Gemara that we're talking about Shabbos. The Rambam maybe din ze b'chol, and the Rambam writes it's taka talk about during the week. And the Rambam holds even during the week you don't go back. The kasha is
when you don't go back means you're not allowed to go back.
So that's what we're going to get to. So we mentioned and we'll see it again inside number three. The Beis Yosef writes you don't need to go back during the week on Shabbos. You're not allowed to go back. But we'll see the Chassam Sofer seemingly not like that. Says the Chassam Sofer, what's the pshat? What is it? Again, the million-dollar question is, what does it hurt to go back? So during the week, what do you lose by going back? Bishlam on Shabbos, you can't go back because of Safek Chol Shabbos. What do you lose by during the week? It's a Wednesday afternoon. Go back and cut the tzitzit. So we mentioned from the Beis Halevi and the Shagasari that they learned, the reason why you don't go back is because there's no point to go back. What are you going to accomplish? You think you're getting hider mitzvah. There is no hider mitzvah once the mitzvah is over. So it's a waste of time. So don't go back. Says the Chassam Sofer, venerally, the theme had that I mean a race perikan chalkin. Gabi silo de gabi acher bechol nami ikashigas lav. He quotes the Gemara which we have over here, number five, which we'll talk about much more. The Gemara talks about a shayla, which is very negiah halacha lemaisa. We should probably have a share in one of these days. If let's say a child goes to medical school and he becomes a doctor or a dentist, and the parent says, "Great, I put him through all these years of school. Now I want him to take care of me." A big problem. The Gemara says you can't do that. Mar says you can't allow a parent to treat a child. Why? Because we're afraid that the child to treat the parent, because we're afraid that the child, although his parents sent him to the top medical school, perhaps he will make a slight mistake and it will cause unnecessary bleeding, which will be a serious violation. So, okay, we'll come back to that Gemara in a second. Says the Chassam Sofer, what do you see from this Gemara? In Cain, Hachanam, he's Chassam Sofer, very important the way he writes it. Nihi godol hamol atzmei choyzer al tzitzin shein makvin, because loy shayich choyvel ba'atzmei. The Chassam Sofer says, if I decide as an adult that I want to go back for my own tzitzit she'enim akvin, I'm allowed to do that, because hider mitzvah. Mishum deboy l'kiyum v'naf she'zeh keli. B'kom makom ha'av, eina rashay l'chavol b'bnoi kot in yosim mashu ikar mitzvah. But the father has no right to allow hezek to his child, to allow unnecessary damage to his child for hider mitzvah. Oy b'lei pirish, unless he already separated, well, if they already separated from the original ma'aseh mila. Avo mishe pirish, over belav mishum choyver bechaver. So after Chassam Sofer, gavaldi gechidish. Do you know why you're not allowed to go back on a Tuesday? Because this is an unnecessary cut. You are not allowed to cut someone for no reason. This is an unjustified medical procedure. Unjustified medical procedures are usher under the Torah's banner. Under of
yourself either.
So the Chassam Sofer, above all, and this is something we have to talk about. The Chassam Sofer said, for yourself, you can justify it because you want to do a hider mitzvah. Which means, we'll get to that in a second. We'll see. The Chassam Sofer seems to say that when you're going back for your own, you're going to get a check. Because if not, it'll also be a chavol l'shoil l'tzarech. But you can't do that for your son without his consent, and you don't have his consent at 8 days old. So according to Chassam Sofer, we're splitting. We're saying the father, an adult, can go back for his tzitzit she'enim akvin, al seder mitzvah. But for a child, you can't. So therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, that's why you can't go back for tzitzit she'enim akvin. It would be considered a chavol l'shoil l'tzarech, and a chavol l'shoil l'tzarech would be considered what? An isser of...
Is it a hidden chavol, or is it not hidden?
Oh, that's the problem. That's what we're going to see in a second. Good. We're going to see in a second about this. These are the words of the Chassam Sofer.
If it's under any circumstance, then any time there's a surgery for a child, the father directs...
The fiza, if it's an unnecessary medical procedure, it's just for other reasons, it would not be much. And a chanami. Right.
So father can't have a son, can't direct good. His son...
So we'll see based on what exactly is considered a justifiable medical procedure. What's hard about this Chassam Sofer, and we'll see if Moshe Weiss discusses it, but I think he doesn't address it completely, is that the Chassam Sofer is splitting over here. He's saying, I agree that going back for Tzitzit She'enim Akvin is Hidda Mitzvah. He's not arguing, he's arguing on the Beis Halevi and those Achrayim that said there's no reason to go back, but he's saying what? That it depends on who makes that decision. I can't make that decision for my son, but an adult can make that decision for himself. The question is, Mamonavshach. If it's Tzitzit She'enim Akvin and Mitzvah, what's the difference? So we'll have to see how to explain it. Now, according to Chassam Sofer, it should come out that according to the Rambam, Bechoil, not only don't you need to go back, it should be usher to go back. Right? According to the Chassam Sofer's Pshat in the Rambam, when we talk about Bechoil, not only Bechoil, you don't have to go back, it's usher. Why is it usher? Because it's a violation of a law of Chavol. That's against the Beis Yosef. If you look at number three, the Beis Yosef writes not like that. The Beis Yosef writes that the Rambam's opinion is, again, this is all trying to explain the Rambam. Remind ourselves, this is all to explain the Rambam. The Rambam sheet in Hilchos Mila is what? That you don't go back for Tzitzit She'enim Akvin, even Bechoil. Now, why, says the Chassam Sofer? Because that's an unjustifiable hezek to the baby, which you're not allowed to do. Now, according to that, l'chayra, not only are you don't have to, you're not allowed to go back. You come to the rabbi and ask him, Rabbi, can I go back? The rabbi would say, absolutely not. That would be causing an unnecessary chavala to the baby. The Beis Yosef writes exactly not like that. The Beis Yosef writes, in explaining the Rambam, number 3, says the Beis Yosef, Rambam, Kosovo, the Brice, Zustam, the Chosev, the Kosovo, the Lidin Shabbos. The Rambam wrote this in 2 places. He wrote once with regard to Shabbos, and once with regard to Chol. And the Beis Yosef, in the Kesef Mishnah, in his first Pshat, explained Pshat in the Rambam was, that the Rambam holds that even B'chol you don't go back. He writes, Ulefizat Tzarech Loimar, De'ene Chosek Tarni Lagabe Chol, Pirushoi, Eino Tzarech Lachzor, Ulegabe Shabbos Pirushoi, Eino Rashai Lachzor. So the Kesef Mishnah and the Beis Yosef were explaining, why did the Rambam write it in 2 places? Because in 1 place he was talking about during the week, and 1 place was Shabbos. So on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go back. On the weekday, you don't have to go back. But according to the Chassam Sefer, it's not true. According to the Chassam Sefer, during the week, you're also not allowed to go back. So this Chassam Sefer is connected to Beis Yosef. Now, there's a bigger problem. Okay, that's one horror. What's the bigger problem? The Chassam Sefer is trying to explain this in the Rambam. He's saying that the Rambam holds that if you're going to go back and cut the baby's tzitzit she'elim akfin, that would be a violation of Chavala. It's L'chayra against another Rambam. Which Rambam? Number 4. The Rambam in Perek Hay of Hilchos Chayv al-Mazik, the Rambam writes the following. A person is not allowed to cause chavala to himself or to others. This is the big sugya of paintballing. This sugya over here, not for now. I'm against paintballing for a lot of reasons. I don't think it's a Torah experience to go around shooting each other. I think there's better things we can do with each other. But this is a serious halachic question that comes up with paintballing. Many of the yeshivas and camps take the kids paintballing. I don't know, whatever. There might be lom d'shoveis out of it. Each shot is only a suffix. You don't know if this is the one that's going to cause the chavur. I definitely don't think you should go paintballing with your parents. I think that's a very bad idea. Even though you want to take your anger out of them, that's not the way to do it. But I think it's a serious shayla to go with your parents, I think is very shver. I think to go even with each other. I remember I went once paintballing with Talmidim. We went somewhere in Pennsylvania. A real, real professional hick was there running the show. I said, I have to ask you. I said, what is the likelihood of walking away from a paintballing experience without at least one black and blue mark? He said, Kamat impossible, unless you're really not playing.
Did he say
Kamat? I'm ad-libbing for what I think he meant. Now, with the few teeth that he had left in his mouth, this is what he said. He told me it's basically impossible to go paintballing like a mensch, properly, without getting at least one black and blue. So, l'chayr, that should make it awesome. So someone was once trying to be a lum, this is not true. Because each shot is a suffix if this one's going to be the one to cause you a black and blue mark. I don't know. I would stay clear of these things.
Save the lambdas for something else.
Yeah, and I think it's just not, you know, I once had a talmud of my mama. She used to keep under his bed like tons of guns, of paintballing guns with ammunition. I don't know. These things, like, this is not what we're supposed to be about. We're not supposed to be going around shooting and hitting each other. I think there's better things we can do with our time. Okay, there's a shayla about other sports and tackle football and these other things. Okay, that's already more complicated than hockey and other sports that are violent by nature. But this is what the Rambam writes. You're not allowed to be choyvel each other, and you're not allowed to be choyvel yourself. So, the Rambam v'chol ha-choyvel bulvad, not only chavol is aser, el kol ha-make odom koshim. So, anyone you hit, what's chavolo? Chavolo means blood. Chavala means blood came out, right? You formed a black and blue mark. That's what we spoke about by Mila and other places. Chavala means a black and blue mark formed. Ela hamaka kol adam kashim yisrael. You hit someone. Bein katan, bein gadol, bein ish, bein isha. You're not allowed to hit a man. You're not allowed to hit a lady. Derech nitzayon. This is the famous Rambam. What does it mean, derech nitzayon? What do those words mean? Derech, how do you translate those words? So the assumption that those words have to do with some form of anger to get to hurt, to intend to damage, to inflict pain, any one of those categories. Hayreza oyver b'leisas Hashem alo Yosef lakos. Then you are a violation of the law of alo Yosef. So what's the kasha on the Rambam? According to Rambam, when the male goes back for tzitzit shein makfin, what's his intention? It's not derech nitzayon. He's not doing it to hurt the baby. He's not doing it to get back at the baby. He's not doing it to cause harm. Or if he's trying to do a mitzvah. So the Rambam Lushi Tosoi, according to the Chassam Sofer, doesn't work out. The Chassam Sofer suggested, according to the Rambam, if I'm going to go back and cut those little extra strands, I'm going to be a violation of Lo Yosef. Not true. According to the Rambam, to be over Lo Yosef, it's intent, not just the action. And there's clearly no negative intent when the male is trying to cut the tzitzit shein ha-makfin. So Im Kein, how can the Chassam Sofer say that pshat in the Rambam is? I can't go back on a Tuesday to cut the skin, because that's going to be the law of Lo Yosef, which according to the Rambam is not true. There's no Lo Yosef, it's not Derech Nitzoyah. The bigger kash on this Rambam is, he's against the Gemara. Why is he against the Gemara? Because if you look at number 5, the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Gemara tells us, Rav Lo Shofke Lebrei Lemishkale Silo, Rav did not allow his son to take out a splinter. He didn't let his son to pop a pimple to let it drain out. Why not? He says Dilma Chavil, because maybe the son will make a mistake. V'havale shigas iser, and it's going to be a shaking of an iser. So frakti gemara, he achi achen nami. How are you ever able to go to a doctor? Every time you always have to be chashish. The doctor will mess up, and if the doctor messes up, the doctor is in a violation. So the gemara answers no. And the gemara says shigas lav. The gemara says yachi achen nami. So shigas lav benoy shigas chenek. Benoy shigas chenek. The gemara says, oh, the punishments are very different. If a regular doctor messes up, he's in a violation of a lav. If the son messes up and causes unnecessary bleeding, he gets chenek, much more chomedik aveira. So this is the gemara where many people are saying based on this gemara that parents should not get treatment from their children. If anything, again, obviously, if it's not a blood related issue, if you want to go to physical therapy by your parent by your child, and it's just a question of no blood, so there's no issue involved, unless maybe a black and blue mark. But if it's anything that, want to get x-rays done by a parent, by a child, okay? There's no blood, but if you want to get anything that has blood involved, it's a big question. So frekti achroin in 1 second. Why would acher, the Gemara has a kasha, what are every doctor in the world? He must say, you're right, every doctor in the world would be a shigas lav. It wouldn't be anything. The doctor's not derech nitzayin. The doctor's trying to help you. He went to school, he's trying to help you, trying to fix you. So he makes a mistake, that's not a lav. According to the Rambam, why would every doctor, the mashmois of the Gemara was, that every doctor doing a medical procedure would be in a violation of a lav. It's not true according to the Rambam, it's not derech nitzayin. This Rambam. So we have two problems. It's a steer in Rambam, and then the Rambam's against the Gemara. So in Minchas Asher on Masech HaShabbos, so he writes the following. He says, number 6, V'tzarech Leimer, you have to say, he's the one who addresses this Kasha from the Gemara and Sanhedrin. He actually addresses both questions, but there's two different pieces of Minchas Asher. One is Minchas Asher on Masech HaShabbos, and one is Minchas Asher on Pashas Lech Lecha. So the two different pieces where he discusses two different issues. Issue number one he discusses over here is, how did the Rambam in Hilchas Chayv L'Mazik learn the Gemara in Sanhedrin? So he writes like this, V'tzarech Leimer, the Derech Nitzoyen ain't pirish b'kavonas Nitzoyen. When you read the Rambam, and the way we read the Rambam, we meant that the Rambam meant, it's all about what you were thinking. That when you go over to a person and you hit him, if your intent is for negative, to hurt him, to cause pain, then it's also. Says Rabbi Moshe Weiss, that's not Zabshah. Ela ba'oifin shal nitzoyin dahenu makash ein batoiva v'toyeles lenichval. He says, the question is not your intent, the question is, what is the byproduct of what you did? It's not so much what your intention was, it's what is it going to come out of what you did. Is there any purpose, any toyelis, any productivity out of the hit that you gave the person? He says, if it's just for nothing, Shila Moiser, V'ein Boi Te'elis L'Nichvol, Havi Derech Nitzoyin V'chayev Alof. So Moshe Weiss wants to learn the Rambam. The Rambam means to say, not what your intent was, but what is going to be come out of what you did. When you hit someone and nothing comes out of it, there's no toyelis, no purpose, then it's...
But there was a purpose.
Where?
You were trying to fix something.
Oh, go. But that's the answer. That's going to be the answer. That's going to be the answer for the Rambam. That's why, according to Rambam, when a doctor does it, that's why it's not going to be considered derech nitzayin. Not because of intent, but because of the byproduct. Let's see.
A child tries it. It's also, is a child is a doctor. He's also trying to fix it.
Which case? But Tzitzin? By Mila?
By fixing a doctor, a child being the doctor?
No, right. The Gemara's answer is because over there, the stakes are too high. Because one is a chenik and one's a lav.
No, but it's nothing. You had it to us.
Let's see. So the Tzayin, there's another Girsa in the Rambam that's not Nitzayin. I forgot already the other Girsa. But the Nitzayin means some form of
anger.
It's anger, negativity, you're trying to hurt, cause pain, be negative, be bad. So it says Rabbi Shavai like this. This is where you have to keep in mind this Chassam Sofer for a second. He writes, Then, if your purpose is to help the person, that's by definition not derech nitzayin. Aval kishein bo tielas have derech nitzayin va'oyver by afsh ein kan kavonat tzar v'nitzayin. So therefore, that's his yisoid. So his yisoid is that when the Rambam wrote derech nitzayin, he didn't mean what you were thinking. He meant what it comes out of it. If you have to look at yourself as, when I hit this person, was there a purpose? Right, you hit someone because you're trying to help him. That would not be derech nitzayin. If you're hitting him and nothing positive came out of this, that's called derech nitzayin.
So nitzayin is not whether you intended to hurt, cause them pain.
That's right.
It's whether you intended to hit them for a good reason.
Exactly.
Or either no reason or a bad reason.
Right. Or
you can't smack somebody on the back in theory.
If nothing good comes out of that. Right, exactly. But let's say, for example, someone's choking, so you try to give him a Heimlich maneuver, so then, even though maybe your intention wasn't pure, but there's something positive came out of that, then now he's not choking anymore. According to Rashi Weiss, that's not derech nitzayin of the Rambam. But here, let's go back to our Gemara for a second. So he says, Now let's go back to our Gemara in Sanhedrin. Ulechein maksha Gemara in Sanhedrin. Now the Gemara in Sanhedrin is very good. The af ba'acher, even if you have another person, yechshash domul chavul bay, yoisim in hatzayrich, vavishigas lav. The Gemara's kash was maybe the doctor will make a mistake. Yes, his intent was not. But what came out of it will be an unnecessary bleeding. Avada, the doctor didn't mean the havamina, we learned the Rambam, it was intent. So then the Gemara is very shver. No doctor intends to cause pain. So the Barshavai, it's not about the doctor's intent, it's about what actually happened. The doctor actually slipped his hand, and now there's more bleeding that was necessary. That is Derech Nitzayim. Not because I intended, I didn't intend it. But Lamaisa, out of this hit, came an unnecessary bleeding or an unnecessary wound. That's how he learns the Rambam. So then the Gemara is beautiful. For the Gemara, every doctor could perhaps do something that his actions will leave us in a point where it was unnecessary bleeding.
We're not talking about Kavana in this case.
Right, because according to him, it's not about Kavana. He's rereading the Rambam. We thought the Rambam meant Derech Nitzayim means intent, what you were thinking. Then the Rambam is shver from the Gemara Sanhedrin. Says Rosh Weiss, it's not about what you're thinking. It's about the action. If the action is considered an action that has no positive outcome, nothing good came out of it, that's called Derech Nitzayim. So in Cain, the Gemara is very geschmack. You can do a medical procedure where you had the purest intention, but at the end of the day, the guy's bleeding for no reason. So that would be considered Derech Nitzayim.
And I was a son to treat a father or a child to treat a father.
Right, so then, so that's where the Gemara's kash was. So the Gemara says, that's why you can't allow your child. Fact to Gemara, 1 second. So why is every doctor ever allowed to treat? So our kash was, what do you mean? Every doctor treating has the purest of intention. The answer is not about intention. It's not about your intention. It's about what's going to happen. So the Gemara says, you're right. So this chash of maybe the doctor messing up is only by a regular person. Worst case scenario, it would only be a love, so we let it happen. But by a son to a parent, if the son actually messes up, he's going to be in chenek. That's what we don't allow. So then the whole question is, halach l'maisa, how do we pass this? Big discussion. The Rishonim, big deal. How do we pass halach l'maisa from this Gemara?
And a parent can't waive that.
Pashtus not, right? He can't waive that. He can't waive that. We learned before, he can't waive that. Now, what some poskim suggest is, if, let's say, for example, the parent doesn't have insurance, and he can't get a doctor to do it, and this is this, either this or nothing, or let's say, for example, every doctor puts the parents on a 2-month waiting list, and the kid says, no problem, I'll do it for free, I'll do it right now, I'll do it right. So many poskim are make on that case. I think Rabbi Pesach Frank is make like that, but it's a big discussion. Allah Almighty, it's just such a shame that you put your kids through all those years of schools, and you think one day it's going to help you. You can't even reap the benefit of it. But in any case, it's a serious halachic shayla for those who have children that went into the medical field. It's a big discussion, halachah l'maaseh. Right, and pay back all those medical years. Maybe.
So the way
yeah.
The Rav describes the Rambam.
Yeah.
So then why wouldn't we be able to go back there?
Good. So this is the question now. So 1 second. So let's go back to our Gemara now. Good. So now we understand the Gemara Sanhedrin. Let's go back to our Stirin Rambam. We start off with the Stirin Rambam because the way the Chassam Sofer learned the Rambam, I can't go back on a Tuesday for the Tzitzit Shein HaMakvim because that would be a lav of loy of Chavola, lo Yosef. That's the Makar of not allowed to cause Chavola. But the Rambam told me it has to be Derech Nitzayim. So let's plug in Rav Asher Weiss's version of Derech Nitzayim. Derech Nitzayim means something bad will come out. What's the bad over here? We're afraid the Merle's going to botch up. That's not the chashash. So what do you lose over here? Where's the Derech Nitzayim over here? So he writes a chiddush. Last paragraph, he writes
cutting the strands.
Right. According to the Rambam, you're only going to be a violation if this action perhaps can lead to no good outcome. There's a beautiful outcome that can be here. You know what the outcome is going to be? Hider mitzvah.
We said there is no hider mitzvah because
the
mitzvah is already done.
Says Rav Asher Weiss, Mekom Makom Nira B'Svara, Dekashe Chazer Al Tzitzit HaMa'akvin, Shal Kolponim Yesh B'Hider Mitzvah. So when you go back for those strands that are ma'akiv, so that's no iser. Why? Ain't kan lav del Yosef, av she'ein ma'akiv emila, kiven dal kolponim yesh ba hid mitzvah v'hider, ein a derech litzayim. Ach lafi, ma'an she'en izbar l'kama mesim en peita es ta'ach ha'shapirish kvar, ein ba ze hider klal. But he got it, in another piece, he says, k'moish amra beis alevi, that since the beis alevi already told us that after you put down the knife, there is no mitzvah, so what are you going back for? This is an unnecessary cut. So he writes, I've shared the be'emes, yesh b'zeh shuv lav del Yosef. Now this is an unjustifiable cut. And the Rambam Shita is, whenever you do an unjustifiable for no purpose, this is a purposeless cut. That's automatically Lo Yosef. So therefore, it's up to Rav Asher Weiss, everything is beautiful.
Is that automatically Nitzayim?
Yeah, because according to this, no. But the only kasha I have on this is, well, according to this, how do you explain the Chassam Sofer? The Chassam Sofer said, but the father can go back. When the father chooses to go back for his own tzitzin, it's the same thing. I moms don't understand this teretz. The Chassam Sofer himself drew a distinction between the father and the son.
In addition,
whose mitzvah?
The father's mitzvah is done.
And
the hitter is up to the child.
No, but so what? The Chassam Sofer said that an adult can go back for hider mitzvah.
Himself,
right, but according to the Beis Halevi that he's suggesting, the hider mitzvah doesn't exist after the mitzvah is over.
But can you do chavala on yourself?
Over it does.
No, but that's, That's how he's explaining it. He's explaining that once you put down the... He says over here that Kivan Achashapirish Kvar Aimba Zahidr Klal Kanal. The canal is, he doesn't write it over here, right. He writes in another piece, it's the Beis HaLevi, which I don't understand the whole chap. If we're coming on to the Beis HaLevi anyways, so who needs some cipher's new teretz?
Maybe the halachic reason in terms of fitting into a Hidur, but if there is a reason, I mean, otherwise, why would you go back? I mean,
No, but that was the whole Beis HaLevi in the Shagasaya. Beis HaLevi in the Shagasaya said that when you go back for Tzitzit Shein HaMakvin, you get no credit. You get zero credit.
No, it's not a question of credit. So I understand from a halachic perspective.
So what's the...
Because the father doesn't like...
But how do you justify that? Yeah, according to the Rambam, it has to be a justifiable cut.
I want a nice amila for my child.
Is that considered justifiable?
It's cosmetic.
Right, so that would be cosmetic. I don't know if according to the Rambam, I don't know where that fits in. Again, I'm just reading the words of Rav Asher Weiss. He writes that according to this, how would the Rambam explain... How would the Rambam fit back into the Chasam Sefer? So he says, because this is an unjustifiable cut. Because... after you put down the knife, there is no more hidden mitzvah. So, fine, I accept that. So how do you explain the first half of the Chasam Sefer? Well, you're allowed to go back for the adult. It's the same problem.
He can do himself.
Right, but you're not allowed to be chivil yourself either.
Oh, that's what I said. You can't be...
No, that was the Rambam. Also, Lord Malach will bein ba'as
mebein
b'chaveru.
He used the word hidden mitzvah, didn't he? He said, of course, it was...
I know, he says that. He draws the distinction between hidden mitzvah of the father and hidden mitzvah of the child. But if you're going to come on to the Beis HaLevi, it doesn't matter. The Beis HaLevi holds once you put down the knife, once the mitzvah is over, there is no more hidden mitzvah. It's impossible. So then he backs himself back into a corner. So I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. It's like the father could decide he doesn't like, he wants a nose job. So he's allowed to do it, right?
That's questionable. Yeah. That's very questionable. That would be very questionable. Maybe Shabbat Shem that also. That's also questionable. Plastic surgery is very questionable. That's part of what the Rambam is. That's part of the Shiloh. That's a Shiloh. Okay. I don't understand exactly how this works out.
Does this whole thing disappear if you hold... that there's an ongoing...
Yes.
Familia.
100%.
Right?
Like the Beis HaLevi or like the Biskarov, right, 100%. This is all if we back ourselves into the Beis HaLevi and Shagasayah's world, which Rav Asher Weiss does. But once you back yourself into that wall, I don't see how you can differentiate between the father and the son.
So there's an ongoing mitzvah to be gemal.
So then the mitzvah's never over.
The
mitzvah is not cutting the skin. Right. The mitzvah is to be gemal. So okay. I'm still in the middle of the mitzvah.
Not if I'm 100% gemal.
No. The mitzvah is not to do... Yeah. Mitzvah is to be gemal. So to be the best gemalt I can be. I'm still in the middle of the mitzvah. I haven't yet finished the mitzvah.
So your hitter never stops.
Your hitter never stops. You're still in the mitzvah. Right. That's how the Beis HaLevi, that's the way the Biskarov learned the machloikis. The Beis HaLevi didn't learn it like that. Rav Asher Weiss says another piece in Minchas Asher and Pashas Lech Lecha, where he comes up with two other very nice chedushim for this Rambam. He quotes from Reb Chaim in Stencil. Remember when I was in ninth grade, we had a boy in yeshiva. The Rebbe said Reb Chaim in Stencil. I was the kid, didn't know where the sefer was. Who's Reb Chaim from Stencil? I have no idea who it was. So yeah, you have to Reb Chaim from Stencil. Means Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, just it's a stencil print instead of a different type of print of the Sefer. Just so everyone knows where you can find it. So Reb Chaim Stencil, Reb Chaim has a piece like this. So Reb Chaim said, we all misread this Rambam again. Again, the words of the Rambam are Derech Nitzoyim. Reb Asher Weiss explains that to mean not intent, but outcome. Reb Chaim has a third way to read the Rambam. How did Reb Chaim learn the Rambam? So he writes it as number 7. He writes, Reb Chaim writes, the whole kavanah of Rambam and Mashikosav derech nitzayin hu laafuke rav hamak es talmidei vahav hamak es benoi dehave mitzvah. He thought that when the Rambam wrote those words derech nitzayin, he didn't mean everyone under the sun. He meant only those people that have a specific reason to why they're doing the hit. A Rebbe, a parent, kemavor b'makis. So he writes, lefizeh kushal mikar lesa. The kasha never gets off the ground. The Rambam didn't mean that you're only in a violation if you're doing it for mean and horrible purposes. The Rambam meant that only everyone who's usher to hit, except if you're a parent or a rebbe. Says Rav Asher Weiss, achlan is daiti pirzu dochik lashon Rambam. He doesn't think that's pshat in the Rambam anyways, but that's the way Reb Chaim says it, and that would get us out of the problem. Then Rav Asher Weiss has another pshat. This is also a very creative pshat. He writes, ve'efshir oid, dirak b'hakosh im b'chavol l'chidish Rambam dein oiver el b'derech nitzoyin. Says Rav Asher Weiss, maybe when the Rambam says you need derech nitzoyin, maybe it means kipshutai. It's intent. But maybe it depends on what type of hitting it was. He says there's two types of hitting. There's a maka b'li chavala, and then there's a maka with chavala. There's a patch, you smack a kid across the face, there's no chavala, hopefully, but that's a maka. And then there's chavala, black and blue marker, bleeding comes out. Says Rav Asher Weiss, maybe the Rambam's din of derech nitzoyin is only when it's a hit that does not have chavala to it.
It's the intent to injure.
Right. So there, when you're not actually injuring, you need intent to make it considered an iser. Mashiach, when you actually cause bleeding, so that's it. Hare dam lefanenu, we have the blood here, and therefore that automatically makes it a chaval. That's his chiluk that he wants to suggest.
So we have a concept in American law called the eggshell skull plaintiff. Uh-huh. So if I hit you on the head, if I tap you on the head, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
But if you have a skull that is like an eggshell, it's where you were born, and I hit you on the heads, and your head, your skull could crack.
Right? Right.
So even though what I did, derech hateva, was normal, wouldn't hurt anybody, but for you, right, so you're responsible.
Even if you didn't know.
You didn't know, and you didn't intend, but that person had that particular condition.
Uh-huh.
So how would it work in this case? Where you?
So he's suggesting that the lav of hitting a person has two types of lav. You can either do it by causing blood, or you can do it by causing no blood with intent. That's how he's splitting splitting the two.
So if you
just smack a kid across the face and no blood comes out, you're not being violent.
You have no intent, but you cause blood, you're still liable.
That's his pshat. That's what he wants to suggest.
That would cover that.
That's what he wants to suggest. So he wants to say that's pshat in the Rambam. Now, if you look at the lashon in the Rambam, he writes the kach mashma mam lashon in the Rambam. He wants to be medayik this in the Rambam. Why? The betchilas dvar of kasav asal adam lachvo, because the Rambam starts off with the word chavola. Bishuv kasav elo kol hamake. It's interesting. The Rambam switches from the word chavola to the word maka. So he says, what's the pshat? Because again, chavala is aser. Chavala means blood coming out. That's aser no matter what. You knock a guy and he bleeds, you're done. I didn't intend it, I didn't mean it, doesn't matter. You cause blood, you're in trouble. But if you just did a makkah, you just hit him without yetzias adam, then the Rambam holds it needs derech nitzayin. So therefore, Zakhtar Basha Weiss, then everything's gevalik then. When you're going to do something that's going to vadik come out dam, so then you don't need derech nitzayin anymore. When do you need derech nitzayin? That's only when there's no dam. But Mashiach, when you're going to do a medical procedure, we're worried that dam's going to come out. No, the Rambam doesn't need derech nitzayin. Therefore, since the Rambam doesn't need derech nitzayin, that answers the Gemara Sanhedrin, that answers up our Rambam here as well. Okay. Now, in the Rishonim in our sugya, there's a chayr, a very stark araya. The Rabbeinu Chananel writes, at the end of our Gemara, number 8, he writes, Mehosha Minon, from our Gemara we learn, Sha'apayrish min ha-mitzvah, Ein loy oid lachzor aleh al hadar. That once you finish doing a mitzvah, you no longer go back. Why not? Why don't you go back? So according to the Beis Halevi in the Shagasai, the Pshat is because there's no reason to go back. Once the mitzvah is over, there's no longer a hidden mitzvah. According to the Biskarov, that's good for the Machloikis in the Gemara. According to the Biskarov, the Machloikis Rishonim is that true or is that not true? But according to the Beis Halevi in the Shagasai, this Rabbeinu Chananel is beautiful. Do you know why you don't go back? Because there's no reason to go back for any mitzvah. Again, according to the Chassam Sofer, this Rabbeinu Chananel doesn't make any sense. Because according to the Chassam Sofer, it's not every mitzvah, it's only one specific mitzvah that has a chavala element to it. Mashiach, according to the Shagasai and the Beis Halevi, you never go back for a mitzvah after the mitzvah is over, once you were payrish from the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is only applicable while you're still doing the mitzvah. Okay. Yeah.
That you can go back after the mitzvah. If you accept the fact that the mitzvah is over, and send them a close to be whether the mitzvah is over or not, but what possible
consequence
or justification could there be for doing mitzvah to something that's already gone?
Yeah, so that was the Biskarov's pshat. That's how he wanted to learn it. He was told that in the Machloekis we're showing him between how do you do hidden mitzvah by Ner Chanukah. And we spoke about this last week, 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was trying not to get involved in the Biskarov understanding. I agree with you. I think it's shver.
The mitzvah is over and gone.
Yep.
What are you doing? It's like I went at Sukkot is over, and now I put on, I hung more decorations on my Sukkot.
I agree. I think that's why the Beis Halevi and the Shagasai are more logical to me to understand that the Machloek is goof is, the mitzvah is still going on. Mm-hmm. Then the Shagasai has another pshat. Well, quote, they say over a Maisa, the Shagasai was very poor. He was a rabbi. Okay, enough said. Right, he was a rabbi. And he was very poor, and he wrote the sefer called Shagasai. He wrote the sefer Shagasai, he was mamish dirt poor. Then he got a new rabbi job in Metz. And then he became wealthier. And then he wrote the sefer Turei Evin, written by the same person. So Baruch Ber said over from his rabbi, Reb Chaim said, I could tell the difference in the writing style between the Shagasai and the Turei Evin. The Shagasai is way better, the Turei Evin is a lower level. So what's the difference? Because the Shagasai, he wrote when he was poor. When a person's poor and he learns Torah from B'teichat Chak, it's a better learning, as opposed to what he learns when he's rich. That's what they say over with the Rashash. The Rashash had a kasha and he didn't understand something and he asked another gadol and the gadol gave him like this fantastic territory and he was all depressed. So the gadol said to him, you're very rich. The Rashash was very wealthy. He was a wealthy balabas. He helped print the Vilna Shas. That's why there's a Rashash in the back of the Vilna Shas. He helped pay for the Vilna Shas. He was a big time chacham, chas v'shalom, not belittling the Rashash. Reb Gifter used to say over his favorite balabas to learn is Rashash. So we give to Easter sale. Rosh Hashanah was a big Talmud Chacham, but he's very wealthy. So the guy, so the Godel said to him, "You're very wealthy, so of course you're not going to be mechadish the same Torah that I'm zayichet to, because I'm very poor." So he said, "That's what Rabbi Chaim said about the Shagasai. Shagasai was very poor at one point, then he became wealthy, and then he wrote the second Sefer Turi Evin." So according to Rabbi Chaim, according to Reb Chaim, the Shagasai is a different level than Turi Evin. Okay, I don't know. I don't learn enough of either of those two from to take a stand on it. But we'll learn the Shagasai. So Shagasai has another shtickle Torah over here. We mentioned the Shagasai was a Rav for many years, and he never showed up. He showed up 3 times a year. Okay. Got to figure out how to get that such a job. Okay. So Dr. Shagasai. So he writes like this.
Was that when he was wealthy or poor?
That was the later. That was later on in life. That was when he got the big job. Then the famous mice of the Shagasai, all his farm fell on him. That story's not true. Well, what? He was in a fight with the Balabatim. He got in a fight with the Balabatim about something. So he only showed up to give 2 Shabbos Hagadol drushes, Shabbos Hagadol drush, Shabbos Shuvah drush, and I think Shavuos or something.
But they wouldn't fire him.
They didn't fire him. I guess he had a good contract. He had a good lawyer. He had a good lawyer.
Where did he
down?
Happy
road. I didn't realize someone was telling me there's a lawyer whose whole job is to make rabbis' contracts. Someone told me it's like there's a lady who does it. She's from Fry something. Her whole job, all day long, she's dealing with rabbis' contracts. It's a full time job. It's a chash of a job.
It's enough to make you fry.
It's enough to make a panasa. That's a big chiddush. I don't know what these rabbis are making. I don't know. I didn't have that much negotiation with Meishel, but okay. In any case, that's the Shagasai. So he writes like this. So the Shagasai, another stickle Torah in the Rambam. Again, the Rambam Shita is that you don't go back for Tzitzin She'ena Ma'akvin even on a weekday. Why? So we have the Shagasai's Pshat, the Beis Halevi's Pshat, and then we have the Chassam Sofer's Pshat. Said the Shagasai, it's the Rambam Lushitasai. Why is it Rambam Lashitosai? So he writes like this. For oy nearly the Hatamish La Rama Mishum the Pasa Kirib Yehuda the Khan Mekalkalin Paturin Fafilu Khoiva. We know there's old machoikis. What's a mekalkal? You do a destructive act on Shabbos, are you in a violation for Shabbos? Right? You didn't do anything, you didn't accomplish anything, you just did a destructive act. So Yehuda holds call Mekalkalin Paturin Vafilu Khoiva. Right? Every single time you damage someone, that's really just a non productive act. You beat a guy up. What did you accomplish? So really every hit is really mekalkal. So 1 second. So frek the Shagasaya. So 1 second. So why does the Torah have to permit Mila B'Shabbos? Mila B'Shabbos is a mekalkel. It's just destructive. Where's the product? All you're doing is causing the baby to bleed. So the Gemara says in Shabbos, Dafko Vav, B'Shem de Blaz, the Oma, Mali Misakin Gav, Mali Misakin Mila. Because you are accomplishing something. You're making the baby gemalt. That's a major, meaning when you smack a guy across the face and give him a bloody nose, there's nothing accomplished. You feel better, but there's nothing accomplished. Mashiach, when you give a baby a bris milo, even though you're causing harm to the baby, but you're fixing the baby's status, so that's misak. So therefore, what was the Gemara's having? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Maybe the Shaila is what's considered Misakin. That's a whole Shaila by Tfilas Kalim. When you Tevel a Kli on Shabbos, right. So we don't Tevel Kalim on Shabbos because that's considered Misakin. Because is that really Misakin? It's a Kli. It's not, you can't use it because Halacha dictates you can't use it. I mean, the baby looks the same. The only thing is it's a Lomdish Atikun. Because now the baby, you know, is...
It's the same
thing. Same marriage.
It doesn't look the same. I mean, there's a physical change.
Right.
Right, but that physical change has no meaning. It has no meaning except for the fact that it's Halacha Kli. I mean, if there wouldn't be for halacha, this would take. Meaning, in the Gaiish world, a circumcised baby, if not for halacha, or today they have medical reasons for it, but other than that, this would be just considered a chaval to the baby. We look at it as a tikkun because for halachic reasons. So the question is that considered a tikkun if it's just halachic, not any physical change? So Dr. Shagasai like this. Now where he gets geschmack. So he says like this. If you think after you finish the mila, afilu hachi ikka mitzvah mishum zekeil maveu v'snolafan b'mitzvahs. So if you think it's taka hid the mitzvah to go back even after you put the knife down, the roi lachz afilu atzitz she'ena makvin esamila, bekimin dei makvin ma'ata inka mishum mitzake mila. So says the Shagasai, 1 second. What's my justification for going back to cutting these strands? They're not going to hold up. They're not misakin anything. What are they fixing? The baby's gemalt without them. So how can I justify going back? I'm going to fix the baby. I'm not fixing the baby. So what does that make it? It's just a mekalkel. So if I were to go back on Shabbos for an Eina Ma'akvin, what would I be in violation? Nothing midaraisa. Why? Because I'm not changing the baby. I'm not fixing the baby. And according to Behuda, I'm just harming the baby. Just harming the baby without fixing the baby is only mekalkel. I'm potter midaraisa. So he says, so 1 second. So why can't you go back? Why can't you go back on Shabbos for Tzitzit Shein Ma'akvin according to Rabbi Yehuda or according to the Rambam who passes like Rabbi Yehuda? Lacy mitzvahs mila shal Tzitzit Shein Ma'akvin derabbanan. I feel him to slam that slam the fun of mitzvahs ain't on the let's say the whole din is derabbanan. Fine. For litchi mekalka bechabal, then can I elas derabbanan? Again, hid the mitzvahs derabbanan. Isser mekalka is only mid derabbanan, so let them knock each other out. Let me go back. Ukemoy, so he says, what's the pshat? Elamai, what do you see? You see that there's no Indian to go back because you're not even going to get Hidda Mitzvah. So if you're not going to get Hidda Mitzvah on Shabbos, you're not getting Hidda Mitzvah on Tuesday either. So at the Shagi Sai, the Rambam knew this. The Rambam knew that if I there's no reason to go back on Shabbos, because if there were to be a reason to go back on Shabbos, I'd be allowed to go back on Shabbos. Why can't I go back? No one says you're allowed to go back on Shabbos. Why? According to me, I should be allowed to go back on Shabbos, because for me, it's only Hidda Mitzvah. There's no it's a deraisa. The answer is because it's not even Hidder. Why? Doim it to what we said earlier, because there is no Hidda Mitzvah and there is no Mitzvah. So therefore, why go back on Shabbos? No. If I'm not going to go back on Shabbos.
It shouldn't be any different than during the week.
Exactly. That's why the Rambam Paschal, there's no difference. It's the Rambam Lashitosa.
You say that there was one you're not allowed to, one you're not supposed to, that one you don't have.
Fine, but the Rambam saw that based on the way he learned the sugya of Mekalkel, he came to the conclusion that there's no reason to go back on Shabbos, i.e. there's no Hidda Mitzvah.
Reason, but there should be no Isser.
So according to the Beis Yosef, there is no Isser. This Shagasai is not saying it's us like the Chassam Sofer. This Shagasai is just saying that the Rambam's Lushitosa is very nice. Why there's no Hidda Mitzvah on Shabbos? Memeo there's no Hidda Mitzvah on Tuesday either.
Why don't we even have to talk about it in terms of Hidda Mitzvah? Why can't we just treat it like a Bris Shalav Zmano? That there's no Mitzvah.
No, because you still.
You did it already.
The Gemara says you should go back for Hidda Mitzvah. That's the words of the Gemara, which we'll get to at some point.
That's my question. So forget about this issue, right? It's a normal case where the baby was sick.
Right.
So once the 8th day passes,
it's not Doicha Shabbos.
It's not Doicha Shabbos because this no is still mitzvah on the 12th day.
But this is
same mitzvah.
So what you're asking is a big machlokes achrayim, which I want to get to today. Is Hidda Mitzvah a separate mitzvah, or is it a chelik of the mitzvah? Meaning, is there a general din that every mitzvah I do, I have to do it to the nicest? Or is that each mitzvah protius has do mitzvah A with Hidda Mitzvah attached to it?
Right, what's mitzvah,
what's the nafka mina? Is if Hidda Mitzvah is a dover kloli, so how is Hidda Mitzvah Deicha Shabbos? How can I go back? How can I go back on Shabbos for something which is only Hidda Mitzvah? It's only Hidda Mitzvah. Hidda Mitzvah is a separate thing. If Hidda Mitzvah is a chelik of the mitzvah, so if the mitzvah is Deicha Shabbos, so the Hidder is Deicha Shabbos. But if you learn, right, everyone agrees that while you're still in it, you're allowed to go back. What do you mean? How am I allowed to go back for something which is not the mitzvah itself? So we'll see, that's the Divrei Cheskel is going to get, we'll get to that hopefully in a few minutes. Yeah.
Isn't that similar to like what we said before? Like, you know, whether Hesher Mitzvah is part of the mitzvah itself. So it's the same thing with Hidder Mitzvah.
No.
In other words, it's the same moment.
That's the Chakir that the Achorim, they attribute it to Reb Chaim, the Biskarov writes this in the beginning of Nazir, the Divrei Cheskel writes this. That's the big Chakir. How do you understand Hidder Mitzvah? Right, the Gemara says that we learn that from a Pazik Zekei Livandei. So is that pshat that it's a separate mitzvah attached? Every time you do a mitzvah, you have the mitzvah, and there's another mitzvah called Hidda Mitzvah. Or no, every mitzvah has in it the din of Hidda Mitzvah.
The Gemara gave examples of Hidda Mitzvah.
That's correct.
So if it was for everything, it shouldn't give any examples.
So we're going to have to talk about the examples that the Gemara gave in a few minutes. That's what I want to get to in a few minutes. The examples are questionable. We'll have to go through each example separately, hopefully, and figure out how to make sense.
If we're still in the mitzvah, we're saying you can go back for the
yeah, judge. Yeah, yeah, that's what the Gemara said. Yeah, we're going to see that in a few minutes. Now, just to round, you know, we've been discussing this Shaila. Now, we discussed this in Lomnus, but these Shailas actually happened. The Shagasai I mentioned was a rabbi. Someone actually sent him the Shaila. Do you go back during the week for the Shaina Makfin? Like, what do you do? So if you look at the last piece of Shagasai, he writes in number 9, Harin is Baru the Divi Rambam the Choyne Bita'amon. So the Shagasai, I'm going with the Rambam. You don't have to go back. He says, I'm very happy that the Shulchan Aruch didn't write the sheet of the Torah. Even though the Ramah does bring down, that, like the Ramah Paskin, we mentioned this last week, that the Ramah does Paskin, like Rashi, that you go back during the week. If the baby's a shtickle shvach, Halach l'maisa, Shagasai Paschal, like the Rambam, against the Ramon Shulchan Aruch. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch said, you should go back during the week. Says the Shagasai, if the baby's not feeling well, then I think you should be sent behind the Rambam. The Pesachei Tshuva in Yerodeya, in Hilchas Mila, quotes the Shagasai, Halach l'maisa. I don't know if this ever comes up, Halach l'maisa, you gotta speak to the professional Moilim, but at least the Shagasai was of the opinion that, no, Halach l'maisa, we go like the Rambam. That if the baby, even whatever he calls over here, Ktsas Choyle, you wouldn't go back for Tzitz Hashem Ma'akfin. Mitzat Sheni, yeah.
But what would he do? Once the baby gets better, then you could go
no, back. Finish. No, forget it. Finish. Move on with life.
You
don't go back.
What do you have to lose? Once the baby gets better.
Depends how you learn. Because if you hold like the base of lady, you're getting no credit. You want to go back? You're not getting anything. Well, why would you do it? According to the Chassam Sofer, would be awesome.
It just seems like this.
Oh, we'll see. When we see the Gemara. Oh, why? Why?
Because in my mind, Hidda Mitzvah, like you buy a nicer esrei,
right?
It's still the same esrei,
right?
Or you build a more beautiful
good
sofka,
right? But here
you're doing a separate act. You've already done the act, and if it's kosher, then when, it's kind of basically what the mitzvah's done. Why is it really a hitter?
Okay, good. So we'll see. Hopefully, we'll be there next week. Rabbi Weiss has two simanim in his Sefer on Shabbos where he discusses a similar question that hitter mitzvah makes sense by other mitzvah, but it doesn't make sense so much by Mila. And Blinad, we'll get to that more next week.
So the Shaka Shai is not pure Rama because he brings in if the baby is a little sick.
Right. So I guess he's. Right, it sounds like if all bets are equal, you should go follow like the Ramon Shulchan Aruch. So if you didn't put down the knife, then everyone holds you should go back.
Yeah. No, but why? Because if you finish the mitzvah,
no, because because this is what all the achrayim they say, because you're still in the middle. You didn't finish the mitzvah yet.
I understand why you have in some respect why you can go back in that context, but it should be almost say, let's say a college, let's talk about a weak baby.
Right.
So you should say that maybe you shouldn't go back because. Your basic mitzvah is done.
Maybe you're not coming.
What signifies the end of the mitzvah? Right. Putting the knife down.
Yeah, that's what the
Gemara is artificial.
Right.
It's what if you hold it for an hour?
Maybe in Echanami. If according to this, maybe you would if the baby's taka sick. But what I want from the Shagasari is that he feels much more comfortable passing like the Rambam over the Ramban Shulchan Aruch. But again, what's interesting about the Rambam is we had so many problems with the Rambam, and that's why I brought the Shagasari. And after all the problems we have with the Rambam, the Shagasari is passing like him. But the beauty of Gedolei Achrayim of that. Yitzchak was later, Yitzchak Blaser was later, he was the end of the 1800s. Look what he writes in the Tshuva. He also has the same shayla. Lach l'maisa. These Rabbanim get these shaylas. Rabbanim never get these shaylas today. A rabbi gets a shayla, he tells, call up the Moyel, leave me alone. I don't know. Most Rabbanim don't learn Hachas Mila. That's the Moyel's job. These shaylas, what we learn is amazing. We use all these Achorinim for Lomdusha purposes. These were Mamish halach l'maisa dike shaylas. So the Pri Yitzchak writes, Ulam the nearest daiti near. No, do ikur kipsaka rama says Yitzchak Blaser. No, I don't agree with the Shagasaya. I think we follow the Ramon Shulchan Aruch who kashidus ator umishem dechei near das. He writes das kol harishayim beemes. He thinks that's what most all rishayim hold, that you go back during the week, you don't go back on Shabbos. Vayim beprisha. He writes over here simzesh kasev zalushayim achin Rashi pesh lahedid demayi b'Shabbos because came b'smag v'chei mashba b'gemara ayin shav because came b'shayim pesh Rashi who kashidus ator. Now he writes over in the Emes, Matzasi Gam, Lebahag, Sefer Azerua, Godel, Hechasmila, Shevi, Brice, Zuperushal, Indian Shabbos. Fine. Umashma Medivreim, the Bechol, Oilam Chaiser, Af, Altsizishain Makrin. But that's about it, which we still haven't talked about yet. We'll get to Blineder one of these weeks. Shehevi Ator, who the Pirish Chayzo Atzisish and Makna Filu B'Shabbos. The Baal Itur has the minority opinion. He holds you go back on Shabbos even for those that are not Makiv. That seems to be against the Gemara. We'll have to deal with it. Now he writes, "We need the Shabbos like Kamel and Kavaseh." But when it comes to Shabbos, we don't follow the Balo Itur. The Ein Kan Das, the Ein Kain Das, Kol Rishayim. We come out coming in Pirish B'Chol. Haridai Tekidas Rishayim Anal. Val Koponim. Haridas Rishayim Bahag or Zeruah Pirish Rashi Smag Balo Itur Hu Kishitas Ator. But Raka Rifa Rosh Avila Brayis Zubistam. Interesting. We never spoke about this. The Rif and the Rosh, when they quote this Gemara, they just quote the Gemara word for word. Now, word for word means you don't mention anything about Shabbos, like the Chassam Sofer pointed out to us. So the assumption would be that the Rif and the Rosh assumed that it's Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos, like the Rambam. He writes over here, nah, I'm not so convinced. Ula Nira, the Ladina, Gamma Rifa, Rosh, Sri Kishita's Hator, the B'chol, Oilam Choyz, Afal Tzishin Mach. So, Pri Yitzchak machs that, that's not a problem. He concludes, Allah, so real Machloikis Achrem. So I looked at some of the Milas Svarim, many, many different Milas Svarim, they write. Machloikis Shagasai, the Pri Yitzchak. So the Pesche Tshuva, I think, is what's Machri. The Pesche Tshuva writes that if it's going to be a Sakana for the baby, even a minimal Sakana, you would not go back. So if you find an old Moyle, you can ask them, Halach Al-Maisa, this ever came up. I don't know if it ever happened. I don't know. I'm not sure. But it's an interesting shot. Okay, so now let's go back to our Gemara at hand and discuss Hidur Mitzvah. Oy, oy, oy. No, I want to get to this Gemara. It's a Geshmaki Gemara. I want to get to stuff. I'll tell them I had traffic. Okay, well, tell them we have traffic. They don't listen to the recordings anyways. Okay, Zag to Gemara. Michti. The Gemara said this. Michti katan, we learned in the Mishnah, kuloi kol tzorche mila suyimai. The Gemara was trying to figure out why did the Mishnah have these words, kol tzorche mila, a mutter and Shabbat, what's it coming to? The Gemara says, lasu yehod etan rabon. Himol. Calls manchu oisik b'mila. As long as you're still in the middle of the mila, choyze ben al tzitzin ma'akvin es hamila ben al tzitzin she'en ma'akvin. You go back for whether the strands are ma'akvin, whether they're not ma'akvin. Pirish. Once you take a break, you separate it. Al tzitzin ma'akvin es hamila choyze. On those that are ma'akvin, you go back. Al tzitzin she'en ma'akvin es hamila ein choyze. But you don't go back for those that are not ma'akvin. So again, let's assume, like Rav Rishayim, that this Gemara is talking about on Shabbos. So what does the Gemara say? So on Shabbos, calls manchu oisik b'mila choyze ben al tzitzin ma'akvin es hamila ben al tzitzin she'en ma'akvin. So the obvious question is, how are you allowed to go back on Shabbos for those strands that are not ma'akev? So I'm middle of the Mila, so what? But again, it's not ma'akev the Mila. The Mila is done. So what justifies me to go back to fix these strands?
Even if you didn't put the knife down.
Right, only when you didn't put the knife down. You're in the middle of it still, and you realize I forgot those strands. So the Gemara says, fine, go back and fix it on Shabbos. Why are you going back? You're going back for Hidda Mitzvah. Hidda Mitzvah is a Dinder Rabbanon. Shabbos is Chol Shabbos. Mila is Deicha Shabbos. Hidder Mitzvah is not Deicha Shabbos. So what allows me to go back? So it says the Divrei Chazkel number 12, the Hidder Mitzvah Deicha Shabbos v'had time, what's the pshat? Mishum the Einu Mitzvah Klolius Bifnei Atzmoi. Because Hidder Mitzvah is not a separate din that you have to do the Mitzvah and there's another din to Rabban and you have to do it nicely. Elo Kol Hidder Mitzvah Hu Chelek Migufa Mitzvah Shaloi. It's part and parcel of the Mitzvah. Oh, so if the mitzvah of meal is doicha Shabbos, so the hidden mitzvah is also doicha Shabbos. V'yesh l'koyach litchas es haShabbos k'moi gufa mitzvah. So therefore, says the Devi Chesko, says the Biskirov, says it's also a Nazir, that you see from this k'moi, gaval de gerai, that hidden mitzvah is not a separate din, that you have to do the mitzvah. Okay, good. Now, there's another din, I have to do the mitzvah nicely, which I get a check for. No, it's all one mitzvah. It's do the mitzvah in the nicest way. Me'mela, it's doicha Shabbos also.
That's only while you're doing the mitzvah. Once the mitzvah is over,
there's no more hidden.
That's why you can't go back.
That's why you can't go back according to the Beis Halevi.
Even though the hidden should
theoretically. Right. Now, let's just go a little weiter in the Gemara, and then I'll get into a lot of trouble. Zayt the Gemara. Man tana pirish enechayzu. Who says that you don't go back once you took a break? Who says that? So Amar Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yechon Rabbi Shmuel Benoit Shabbi Yechon Mebreki. It's Rabbi Shmuel Benoit. The Tanya. Arba Asi Shechol Yesh B'Shabbos is the 14th day of Nisan. Erev Pesach falls on a Shabbos. So Mafshit HaPesach Ar HaChazah. So how are you going to, you have to skin the animal, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. You have to get it ready for the Hakrova. So you're allowed to skin it up to the chest to be able to take out all the necessary body parts that you need to get out, and then you stop. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel Benoit Shabbos Mebreki. V'Chom Maim Mafshitin Es Kulo. Can do the whole hafshata. So the Gemara assumes that according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Reich, you can only do what you're allowed to do. Then you stop. And once you stop, nothing more is allowed to be done. Even though it would be much nicer for the animal, it would be a hider mitzvah maybe somehow if you would do that. The Gemara says you're not allowed to do it. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Mimai. Atkan, like, come Rabbi Shmuel ben Reich, Shembrechim, Rahasam, Shem, Doloi, Be'in, and Zakeh, Ma'veu. There's nothing nicer about an animal when you exactly are going to skin it. So therefore, why skin it all now if you can skin it after Shabbos and not violate the Shabbos? Avol Hacha, the Be'in, and Zakeh, Ma'veu. But over here, going back for those strands is hider mitzvah. Hachanami, maybe everyone agrees you should go back. Titania, ze keli van veyu. Here are the examples. Hisnoya the fun of the mitzvahs. Do mitzvahs beautifully. I say the fun of sukkah, build a nice sukkah, lulavna, shayferna, tzitzisna, sefer tairina, the kasaba lishmoi, bidiyoina, use nice ink, bikulmasna, nice pen, balbul or uman, ukorcha bishiroina, and wrap it with nice strands. So, what are the examples of the Gemara which I want to get to? They're all what?
They're all inherent in the thing.
In the cheftza. They're all mitzvahs that have what we'd call today a cheftza shel mitzvah. Does Mila have a cheftza shel mitzvah?
I would think, yeah.
Chari does, right?
The knife
is not the cheftza shel mitzvah. The meal is the cheftza shel mitzvah.
Nice,
we'll get to that. Now, but we'll leave off with this, is a Rashi and Baba Kama Daf Tess on the base. This we'll leave off with Bli Neder for next week. What were the examples of the Gemara? We have Sukkah, Lulavna, Shoifina, Tzitzisna. What does Tzitzisna mean? The string should be nice. Mm-hmm. Says Rashi Baba Kama, Daftes on the base, Zekel Vanve, who is not the fun of the business, no, I say the Chosefer Torino, Lulavna, Talisna, Tzitzisna. Have a nice talis. What's the talis? The beged? You should have a nice beged? What's the beged? The beged is not the Chefter Shal Mitzvah. The Tzitzis are the Chefter Shal Mitzvah. So why do I have to have a nice beged? The equivalent of having a nice beged would be having a nice house so you can put up a mezuzah. A great makar, why you have to have a nice house? You have to have a nice house so you can put up a mezuzah. The Magen Avraham Paskas Halacha Lemaisa, number 14. Yizar Lasois Talis No. We should all have a nice talis. Not the tzitzis, forget the tzitzis. Talis No. Mishum Zekeh Vanveu. Frekt Yachrein, frekt Dvar Avraham. Frekt many Yachrein. We'll see. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a piece about this. Pekha Sharmik has a piece about it. We'll have to leave it for next week. What's the hidden mitzvah in the talis?
Because the talis is part of the mitzvah of the tzitzis.
Is that true?
Well, without the beggar, there's no mitzvah of the tzitzis.
And without the house, I can't put up a mezuzah.
The house used for many other things.
Okay, we'll leave that for next week. We'll get into this next week.